podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We all attack your right hand side. Exactly. We do.
pretty much.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. But we know, James, we are. Planet FPL does the Euros!
Yeah, and anyway, we've got a serious Sky Fantasy football player with us today.
What's his name?
Me and Suj are delighted to be joined by Andrew Ferguson. Are you listening? Paul McAnulty. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, James. And thanks for the correct pronunciation.
You're very welcome. I'll send that in the post to Fergie. For those who don't know you, can you briefly introduce yourself to the guys, mate?
Yeah, I'm Paul McAnulty. I'm on the 3-for-1 podcast with Dan Cox and Andrew Ferguson for Sky for the Hub. Relatively good fantasy player, or relatively experienced fantasy player, should I say. Scotland, avid Scotland fan. Got tickets for the upcoming games. And thanks very much for the invite for coming on and talking about Scotland.
Pleasure to have you on, definitely. And before we get into Scotland and the Euros and what have you, I've got a burning question because I really want to see James and Dan drinking pints and doing shots. So when's your stag do?
So the ongoing joke, I think we're going to Bristol on the day before the World Cup final, before the Euros finals, which is the 10th.
World Cup final. Yeah. I was getting ahead of myself.
The 11th of July.
11th of July is, yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay, it's in the diary, James.
Oh, Jesus. So we've got the 11th and the 24th now.
Yes.
Oh, no, the 11th's the final, isn't it? Must be the 10th. July the 10th.
Yep. Yeah, so it's the Saturday.
Are you driving, are you, Suj?
Yep.
All right. We're on a promise now. We're on a podcast, don't we?
Yeah. There are some listeners that will listen to our Sky show and your Sky show as well who'll know the backstory to the old stag do. But we know Dan's not allowed out unless he's got a real big reason. So we've fabricated Paul's stag do just to see Dan Cox come and have a few beers, right?
Yeah, and my missus now knows that this is an on-running joke as well. So she's she's piling the pressure on.
No surprise. She wants to get rid of you for a weekend, didn't she? Yeah, yeah. How did you finish in Sky, Paul?
86th, so behind you, I think.
Are you happy with that?
I don't know. I play the game really relatively boring most of the way season through, try and retain transfers. I don't play in any cash leagues or anything like that, so my aim was a top 50 finish, so finishing 86, I guess. Obviously didn't reach that, so maybe a little bit disappointed from that front. Tailed off again at the end. So a bit disappointing, but top 100 finish with the volume of really good players, especially now a lot of people moving across from FPL to Sky as well. So maybe the top 100 is the new top 50.
It's going to get harder, isn't it? That's mad, 86th, and then feel a little bit disappointed. But I know that because you were pushing hard at one stage where it like was falling into place for you. And I know you like to follow template captains. Every time I go against a template captain, I can hear you in my ear. And do you know what, James? You're better off going with a template captain. It's going to burn you. And a few times it definitely absolutely does.
Yeah, I can't think of many times this season where it didn't come up, like didn't fail spectacularly.
Yeah. How have you wangled tickets then for the Euros?
I'm part of the Scotland Supporters Club. So the way that they work the tickets for the Scottish supporters members is that you get 1 point for every home game that you've attended in the last 10 and 2 points for every away game that you've attended in the last 10. So I was actually in Peru, I think it was in 2017, or no, 2018, because it was just before the World Cup. And Peru had qualified and they were playing us. And that was Scotland's 8th last away game that had fans there. So still qualifying from games way back then as well. So, Hampden have got, I think it's, is it 18,000 tickets?
You got about 12,000, I think.
12,000 for Hampden and 18,000 for Wembley. So we were saying just before we came on air that members of the Scotland Supporters Club were actually getting more tickets available for Wembley than they were for Hampden, which I found crazy. I think it was 1,800 for Hampden and and 2,300 for Wembley.
I reckon even if you hadn't got the allocation, the Scottish fans would find the way of getting themselves into Wembley next Friday, regardless. It seems to be the case wherever you go, whatever the allocation is, the team are always really well supported.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was in the Parc de Princes in 2007. I've got a story about this later on. I was in the Parc de Princes in 2007 and well, they hold there 47,000. And there must have been over 20,000 Scots in there. But that was before you had the you had to put your postcode in to say where you were from to get the tickets. So Scots were just littered in the French end.
Well, obviously, people older than us, Paul, many a Scotsman will remember, obviously, breaking the crossbars at Wembley, invading the pitch. It was about 60,000 Scots in Wembley. I want to say 1977. I might have that year wrong. But yeah, you used to come down to Wembley in numbers, obviously, during the home nations when England and Scotland used to obviously play each other every year. It's a very strange quirk of fate that we seem to have met again. The last time you were in a European Championship was 1996. It seems if I'd have said to you back then that after France 98, you wouldn't qualify for a major tournament for 23 years, you surely wouldn't have believed that.
No, it's crazy, and we've had some decent teams in that period of time as well. I go back to that 2007 trip to France. So we had just come off the back of a qualifying campaign for World Cup 2006, and the team was in good shape. We didn't have a great qualifying campaign for 2006, and in 2007, so we've just come off the back of the World Cup final where Italy beat France, and in our group we had Italy, France, Ukraine, when Shevchenko was still playing at that point as well, so one of the best strikers in the world at the time. I think it was Lithuania, Georgia, and Faroe Islands. And we managed to beat France home and away, draw with Italy at home, and I think we beat Ukraine at home as well, and still never qualified from that group. So,
yeah, 2004 tournament, I want to say. You lost to Holland in a playoff as well. There have been plenty of
we won the first leg.
One nil in the first leg. Yeah. I won't remind you what the score was in the second leg.
Six, yeah.
How many fingers? Yeah, got well beaten in the second leg. Why has it been so long then? Because even if we look back to that period, kind of mid-noughties, we can say, okay, there were some good teams there for a while, a little bit unlucky. But actually, since then, there's kind of 12 years or so, you haven't particularly been close.
Yeah. I kind of link it to my club team a little bit in that we have the ability to prize defeat from the jaws of victory, I guess would be a good way of putting it. So many Scottish Cup finals Hibs were in before we finally won the trophy a few years back. And it's been the same for Scotland. Like, we've had decent teams. We had a really good record at Hampden for a while as well. We were beating top international teams. But we would go away to Belarus or Georgia and then just not show up at all and get battered. And so many painful away trips. I think that was our undoing.
What's been the most painful away trip? Because that's what we want to talk about, really, Paul. Some of these away trips. You've been to Peru. You've been to Peru for a friendly. That's mad. Suj hasn't been anywhere other than West Ham, mate.
Hey, I've never watched England overseas. To be honest, I don't think I've never seen England at home as well. I mean, I'm not that into international football. But to add balance to James's question, I don't want to know just about the pain. Give the guy a chance to tell us some good stories as well.
No, you've got to do the pain first, then we'll do the good stuff. We'll end on a positive note, I think.
Yeah, so we got battered 4-0 away in Norway one time. And so the football was obviously terrible. We had the Caldwell brothers at centre-half, which was a disaster. And Norway is like the most expensive. It felt like the most expensive place on the planet at the time as well. So, good trip, good banner, good drinks. But football was absolutely shocking.
You're in a stadium surrounded by better FPL players than you as well, because the Norwegians seem to have something in their water that just makes them more good at fantasy as well.
Yeah, Magnus Carlsen, he's Norwegian, isn't he? The chess.
Swedish, I think.
Oh, he's Swedish. So Scandinavians
it's
in general.
It's actually fair to bracket the Scandinavians in one for FPO and stuff, because even the Danes and what have you are all really good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What's the furthest you've been, Paul? Is it Peru?
Peru, yeah. And I only went for 3 days.
What made you...
You went for the game.
What made you decide to go to Peru to watch Scotland?
So I've never been to South America, and I guess like my girlfriend and I, we're in our mid-30s now, so I guess maybe get to the point where we're, and this was 3 years ago, maybe starting to think about families and stuff. And she had been to South America before. She'd worked in Brazil for a couple of weeks in the favelas. So I'd always wanted to go to South America, and I just felt that this was opportunity. My stepdad was going across. He was going across as a part of a bigger trip. But I just felt it was an opportunity to go across for a reason. And then nip back across. I'm always a annual leave at work. I always kind of, every holiday is a prisoner for me as well. So if I can do the most efficient trip in and out of places, I tend to do that as much as I can.
I remember a couple of years ago, Sige, this must have been one of Pochettino's first years, and trying to convince the wife to do a week in Nice. And after about 2 weeks, she was like, why do you want to go to Nice like Monday to Friday during the football season? We was playing in Monaco on the Thursday, weren't we? You get these links in. You think, yeah, great. Yeah. Football's given me a little excuse to go on a little journey and a little jaunt. What's been highs then of travelling abroad, Paul?
Well, yeah, so that Peru trip was excellent. I started playing Sky Fantasy Football about 8 or 9 years ago, and there wasn't that many content creators at the time. So Will Thomas, who owns the hub, he was doing a sort of WordPress account, and Luke Williams, the Godfather, he was doing the odd article on Fantasy Scout as well. So I'd got in contact with Luke Williams one year. I did okay in Sky, and met a few people through there. And I used to track people's names on spreadsheets to say how I was, people that were entering a lot of the public leagues. I used to track maybe like 10, 15 names on there to say, oh, if I finish above these people, I want to try and target them and work out what their team is. And one of them was Niall Murphy. So he's a fellow Scot from Perthshire, St. Johnston fan. And I was going across, and I knew I was going across to Peru, and he was backpacking in Peru at the time. So I sent him a message, and we went and met up. And I just think, I do the podcasts for the hub because I just like talking about fantasy football and like interacting. It's really all that there is in it for me. I'll interact a little bit on Twitter, but not to the extent of others. And just getting to meet someone that had a similar passion to me, a non-Old Firm fan, talk about, club football in Scotland, and then talk about Sky Fantasy Football, it was kind of like a really great thing for me.
I think that's one of the best things about the community. When it's at its best in terms of fantasy, you could jump onto any city, jump on Twitter within the FPL community, and you'll find someone somewhere that's up for meeting up for a beer or having a chat. I mean, yeah, the likelihood that they're from the same nation and overseas as well at the same time as your country player, but that's pretty good to be able to meet Niall like that.
Yeah, I think there was only 360 Scotland fans at the game as well. So, we had overtaken this small Irish bar in the centre of Lima. We found a quiet space to talk fantasy football in the back corner.
I'm interested to know, has Niall been banging on about the double Scottish Cup win?
Yeah, well, he was up in Edinburgh, and he was watching the game in an Edinburgh pub, the final as well. So great season for them. Double cup win, top six finish as well. Callum Davidson's done an incredible job there.
Who did they beat in the final?
that's what I mentioned Edinburgh, because I think he was down there in my neck of the woods at that point.
Mate, at least you got the monkey off your back a few years ago. You were there when you beat Rangers.
Yeah, my dad's a Rangers fan as well, so I think he secretly wanted Hibs to win that day, though, based on just me supporting them for all my life. And he's got a lot of friends that are Hibs fans too.
So what's the hopes for this summer? Is it pleased to be there, or is it, oh my God, I'm going to 3 games of football? Do you expect to get out of the group? What can you tell us about Scotland's hopes and your own?
Do you know what I've noticed under Clark, especially sort of second half of his tenure to date, is that it's the first time in a while that I've felt that you can tell that we've got a plan, that we know how the team's been set up, we know what everybody's role is. And I think Scots would be happy in defeat knowing that we've given it a good go, which hasn't been the case sometimes in the past as well. So I think that we've got a structure of a team. I'm thinking back to what Corf was saying about how Wales were really structured before in their last Euros, and Northern Ireland were as well. Not that because Scotland were after Michael O'Neill for a while, after Strachan left for that reason. Just get someone in that would give us a game plan, get us organised, get us hard to beat, because we don't have a Gareth Bale or we don't have an Aaron Ramsey. We need to be really organised. And I think us going into this tournament, that there's the optimism there. And everyone's behind Clark as well. Regardless of what team he puts out, everyone knows the role. So I think I'm excited to go to one, to get into football based on the last couple of years. Two, to be seeing Scotland at a big tournament. And three, we've got home advantage in two of the games as well. I don't know if the bookmakers are rightly suggesting that we are way down as fourth favourite in the group. But we've got home advantage over the Czechs and the Croatians as well. So I think, you know, there's definitely a chance of us qualifying if things go our way.
It's funny, we had a question around that in our Patreon pod Q&A about home advantage and who it would help and who it might not help. And we didn't mention Scotland necessarily in that, but definitely two games at home for them will be a massive help.
Yeah, we've got that running track around the park at Hampden that I like the, you know, the turf moor style stadium, and I think that if we had something like that, it would benefit Scotland more. You know, the fans are running in the park.
In a way, you'd have been better off playing at Ibrox or Parkhead.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of Scotland fans feel the same about that as well. It's not a Glasgow to Edinburgh thing at all. But a lot of fans wanted us to change our home park to Murrayfield Stadium.
I understand there's issues with that, with the RFU, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you had that issue before. But the stadium only got rebuilt in the 90s. And I've heard that they're thinking of knocking it down and starting again, basically. Is that right?
I'm not too sure about that. I know that Queen's Park have finally been moved out after, what is it, 130 years. So they're playing at Lesser Hampden now. Because you could get a hospitality for a Queen's Park game for like £30, go in, get like a three course meal.
There, she'd average about 350 in a 52,000 seater, basically, didn't they? Incredible. Yeah.
Crazy. But that's their home. That's where they've always been based.
That's got to be pretty emotional come Monday, though, to not only have gone 23 years without being in a major tournament, but actually be at home as well. And I think you're right. We spoke about it a little bit, Serge, about I really think there's an underestimation of some of these teams who've got home games. I mean, for example, Hungary, it's full capacity next week. I know they're probably the whipping boys in that group, but Portugal and France are going to have to go there and play in front of 60,000. And nobody's had that kind of atmosphere for 18 months or so. 12,000 Scots will make a lot of noise. Because I know you're saying you probably only got allocation of 1,800 officially, but
the ground will be Scottish, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. So you'll make plenty of noise. It will feel like a home game. And I think we've seen it in our league that even just a couple of thousand, the emotion in it can really have an effect on how players play. I think there's no chance of the Scottish players going into Monday and not realising the size of the importance. Do you think it's essential to win on Monday?
For us to progress in the group, I think it is. We've got a good recent record against Czech Republic as well, and Croatia's never beat us.
Is that right?
But I know that obviously they've only been a nation since
Yugoslavia. This is when Paul says we've never played them.
We've played them five times. Obviously since the split of Yugoslavia. But they've never beat us, and we've got a good recent record against Czech Republic as well. So and with best placed third teams getting through to qualifying stages, I don't know how many people know Scotland, with some of the great Scotland teams in the past, when we have qualified for tournaments, we've never got out of the groups of any tournament ever. So I think this is as good a chance as we're likely to get.
Is that right? You've never been in a knockout stage of a major tournament ever?
Never.
Even like going back to 50s and stuff?
Nope.
Wow. That's incredible.
And that's like Ali's Army in like 78, when you had like Dalgleish and Joe Jordan and world-class players at the time as well.
If you think back to 2016, I think a really kind of inspiring example, everyone kind of mentions Wales, but more Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
We went into a group with Germany, Poland, Ukraine, and everybody's perception of it was, if they get a point here, they'll have done really well. They had one good day against Ukraine, 1-2-0, and they managed to lose the other two games 1-0, which gave them a level goal difference. Yeah. and they qualified as one of the best third place teams.
Yeah.
And that's it. If you can go and win 2-0 on Monday, or to be honest, you would take any win now, I get that. But then if you can win on Monday, you got two swings at getting a point or better, and you know that'll be enough.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. And I think the Czech Republic games, the one that we're holding out more hope for, I think Croatians will dictate the play a lot more against us than perhaps the Czechs will. So even if you were looking for like 4 points from the three games, that's going to be enough to get you the best place third team, if not the second team in the second place in the league as well.
I presume after beating the might of Israel on penalties and the might of Serbia on penalties, David Marshall's your key player?
Yeah, David Marshall. Do you know, like, something Scotland's never had?
You weren't meant to answer that seriously.
Scotland keepers have never let us down. And if you think about how many times that we've been battered over the years, it's not been goalkeeping mistakes that's caused it.
Bode well for you, by the way, mate.
Nah, I know. But but even thinking back, like Gorham, Leighton, Douglas, Craig Gordon, McGregor as well, and Marshall. Yeah, no goalkeepers ever let us down over the past. So yeah, Marshall will be we will need him to be on good form to do well.
Is he definitely number one over Craig Gordon?
Yeah, definitely number one.
And you always play a back three now, right?
Yeah, Tierney, who is by far our best defender, and I include Robertson in that bracket as well. Mm. He'll be playing on the left of the back three. Then probably Grant Hanley in the middle, who gets ridiculed quite a lot.
He's had a good season for Norwich.
Yeah, and again, he's one of those players I don't think's ever performed bad for Scotland. There's going to, like, I can go through the team. There's going to be a few of them that are never let you down at international level, but perhaps their club form isn't as particularly as great. And then I guess beside Grant Hanley will be Declan Gallagher, who played. It'll be a similar team that we played against Luxembourg at the weekend there. Okay. Or it could be Jack Henry. He's had a good season on loan in Belgium from Celtic, but I think it'll be Gallagher.
All right, and Sam McTominay's played at centre back quite a bit.
Yeah, he played on the right hand side. There's a guy that plays for Rangers called Ryan Jack. He's probably our Scotland's only real defensive, you know, nick the ball, play a 5-yard pass, and very, very good at. But he's injured, and not having him in the squad means that we really need the McTominay in the centre of the park.
Okay. That makes sense. Robertson will obviously play left wing back.
Yeah.
Did Stephen O'Donnell right?
Stephen
wing
O'Donnell,
back,
yeah. He's kind of like a Steve Clarke favourite. He had him at Kilmarnock. At Kilmarnock, Steve Clarke finished third in the Premier League, which is a massive, massive achievement when you look at their budget compared to Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen, and other SPL teams. So he's always been a favourite of Steve Clarke's, and I think he'll play on the right. There is calls from some of the fans to play Nathan Patterson from Rangers. So he broke into the Rangers team this season and when James Tavernier was injured, and he played right back and played really well. And I think he bodes some sort of win, like incredible win percentage. I think he's only lost 2 games out of 21 that he started this season. But I think it'll be O'Donnell.
So left to right, that back five goes, if I got this right, Liverpool, Arsenal, Norwich, Motherwell.
That's right. Declan Gallagher's just signed for Aberdeen, but technically so, Motherwell. So yeah.
We all attack your right-hand side.
Pretty much. But then if we don't play him, like you either move McTominay into there, which I think like he obviously wants him in the middle, Jack Henry. I think Declan Gallagher's merited the spot. It's weird, the Liam Cooper situation's a bit strange, I think, for Scotland fans as well. Like, I don't know what it is, why he doesn't get a consistent run of games. He comes in, plays one, doesn't play two, wasn't featured in the squad the last game. But he's one of those players, I think, that when you think he plays for a better club than his counterparty, but yeah. Is he going to be a better player at international level?
Most Premier League fans will be surprised to hear that, though. Yeah. And I know he had a strange situation at the end of the season with Leeds as well, but actually was pretty consistent for them. And I found his Premier League season improved the more he played, actually, this year. So I mean, it's surprising that he's not part of the first choice three centre-backs, actually.
Yeah, and I think it's the games he was missing. Grant Hanley came in, played well. Maybe it's the organisational skill. And as you said, he has had a good season for Norwich, so I don't think anyone can deny him that.
Yeah, Mark at FPL Badger so just speaks highly of what Handley's done this year, actually.
The midfield is where is obviously the real strength. When I look at the midfielders that you have in there, legs and running is the one thing that really comes to mind. Like Gilmore, McTominay, Stuart Armstrong, McGinn, Fleck. These are all players that have good engines. And if you're going to win some of these games, work rate's going to be important and putting a shift in. I feel like midfield's where you've got the legs to potentially outrun certain teams or really wear them down.
Yeah, and you'll have seen McGinn gets a lot of plaudits this season. He was fantastic at Hibs, and I'm glad that we held out and sold him to Aston Villa as opposed to taking the derisory offer from Celtic at the time. I think they were just trying to make him run there his contract and get him for cheap at the end. But he's probably, not surprisingly, he's our most important player. Plays a bit more advanced for Scotland than he does for Villa, so he plays more advanced out the three. And I think it'll be McTominay in behind him. And I still think it'll be Callum McGregor that gets other plays. Callum McGregor's not had a great season for Celtic, and he's not been particularly great for Scotland either. It would be his place to lose to get Gilmore in if that was a decision Clark was going to make. I know along with that Nathan Patterson suggestion, I think that Billy Gilmore's the other one that kind of some of the Tartan Army are clamouring to get him in the team.
He's the Scottish Raheem Sterling then. Not in form, hasn't been playing well, but is probably going to start as Callum McGregor then.
Yeah, and I just think it's that we've set up a team. He's played the majority of the games. He's used to him. He knows his role. And I guess the experience without having Ryan Jack in there as well. I think he'll opt for Callum McGregor. He might not, and he might be bold and play Billy Gilmore in there.
So what are you expecting a free?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think, McGregor?
I think it'll be
McTominay.
Yep, and McGinn.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I like Stuart Armstrong, for example. I think he's a good player.
So also,
for me, I got a question for Suj, actually. If Billy Gilmore was English, do you think he'd be in the England squad?
That is very so. It becomes a Billy Gilmore versus Calvin Phillips question for me. Because there's only limited number of positions in that holding midfield kind of space. Rice is going. Jordan Henderson is going. So Mason Mount is going. So would you take Billy Gilmore over Calvin Phillips? Probably not, because Calvin Phillips has played a full season and Billy Gilmore has been in the reserves. But it's a difficult one, though. I think he's definitely got the talent.
You had to think about it, though, didn't you?
Oh, 100%.
And I think that's 100%. Interesting because for me as an outsider, Paul, and as I said, I like Armstrong. I think actually there's good squad depth in the midfield there. Yeah. I think you're quite strong. If you wanted to change system, you can. I think a few of them midfielders, like Ryan Fraser, etc., can play higher up. John Fleck, when he's in Sheffield United form, he's good when he's not playing as his mate Jimmy, who went on loan to the Highlands. For me, Gilmore has to play. He's too good.
Yeah. I think Gilmore's detriment will be that injury that he picked up during the season. He was out for, what was it, about 8 weeks, 10 weeks, something like that. And that kind of derailed. He was getting quite a lot of minutes at Chelsea at the time. And then he got nursed back in. And I know he played a few games towards the end. And I just think it might be that game time situation of... He picked up a small knock. He came on at half-time against Luxembourg in the last game. And they picked up a head knock, and they just for the concussion protocol took him off. But I think he's okay. But yeah, as I say, there is a lot of Scotland fans wanting to see him get a start, but if not, at least get a lot of minutes.
He's got to be the best Scottish talent for the generation, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Phenomenal talent. When I first grew up, I think of the Collins, McStay, McAllister, you were so strong in that kind of area. And it kind of has moved away from that in the 21st century. And Gilmore's got a bit of them in him. I think he's an absolutely super player. You're so blessed. He's gonna play for you for the next 15 years or so, as long as he keeps his feet on the ground.
I think you're right. I think we've moved towards that more hard-working model to you get the guys to do the... to do the groundwork, and I guess I wouldn't class McGinn in that, because I think he has got a bit of quality about him as well, but definitely I think Gilmore's a superstar, and I think that injury I think in this season has been unfortunate for him and for us, that I think that that might be what hold him back. But he could start, but it would be McGregor's place that he would get if he started.
Okay. It'd be good if he did and played well, because an informed Billy Gilmore is the only thing stopping Chelsea coming to try and buy Declan Rice for West Ham. So the better Billy Gilmore does, the more likely we have to keep him. But to be honest, it'll just go to United instead.
Well know it's going to be Rice, Gilmore and Mason Mount in Chelsea's midfield in the next 24 months or so.
Okay. So should we give up on London being blue? London's going to be blue.
Probably be Harry Kane up front as well. I take it, are we front two then, Paul?
I think so, yeah. So before they found out that Aishi Adams had a Scottish grandfather.
Is it? Yeah, is that true?
His granddad's from Edinburgh. Or, well, I'm reading it maybe as much as what you've had in the tabloids and such like to get there. But I think that that's the case. But we were only playing one up front at that point, and it was sort of Ryan Christie who was playing off, who had been playing excellent, or Ryan Christie and or James Forrest, who had both been playing excellent for Scotland and for Celtic at the time as well. But Celtic's had what I think they would admit is like a really poor season this year. Didn't do well in the Cups. We're a massive distance behind Rangers as well. Christie's form's kind of shot off a cliff. Forrest's been injured for a lot of this season as well. So I think that you'll go with Lyndon Dykes from QPR and Shea Adams up front.
Not Nisbet, no, because he's been in a bit of form for Hibs. Yeah, it's your boy, obviously.
Yeah, no, Nisbet has been playing really well, and he scored against Holland. Scored against Holland last week as well. I just think that he likes the partnership between Adams and Dykes. In Luxembourg, they linked up really well. The finishing was a bit erratic. I don't think Dykes is a naturally great finisher anyway, but his hold up play is really good, and Adams has got that kind of Premier League experience. He's had a good season for Southampton. He plays well on a two as well. I think if we reverted back to a one, that would be Lyndon Dykes' place, and we would actually drop Shea Adams.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, Adams is used to having that with kind of Ings with him, or occasionally a Walcott or a Teller or something different. I can see that. Do you think you'll play two up front against England?
I think it depends how we get on against the Czech Republic. I think if we beat the Czech Republic, for me, it would be like, why not? If you're not playing for a draw, why not have a go if you've already picked up the 3 points against the Czech Republic? I think he will. I think he will. And if he doesn't, it would probably be Ryan Christie that then comes back into the team to kind of play in behind Dykes on that front. He tried to do the same with Ollie McBurnie for a while, but Scotland fans did not take to him at all. And I know he's got off-field issues at the moment as well, so as I say, I think Lyndon Dykes will be one of the first names in the Scotland team sheet.
That's a really interesting dynamic, I think, for the England-Scotland game, actually, because there's been a lot of talk about England maybe playing three at the back against Croatia, which I'm not convinced about, because England haven't played it in any game in 2021. But actually, it could be that if Scotland are going to go two up front, if Tyrone Mings is going to be one of our centre-backs, it might be that's the game that we go to a back three, match up against you with obviously the wing-back system. And it might be England will find the advantage then, rather than you going two up front, England will play with just Kane and then find the advantage in midfield areas there. That's an interesting dynamic I hadn't considered previously, actually. So it might even be that it's the Scotland game that England could even switch to a back three, I think. I think Southgate be worried about that, like Adams and Dykes going up against Mings and Stones. I think that would concern Southgate.
I like the fact that it's the middle game as well. If it was the last game in the group, then there's every chance, if England has already qualified, rotate the team and what have you. But if it's the mid, if say England don't beat Croatia in the first game and you get something out of your game, suddenly England need to win. It might open up more space for Scotland. Scotland, if they get a draw, it might see you through. So there's quite a good dynamic in having it in the middle game as opposed to the end game. More likely to be something important to play for, potentially.
We obviously had that. We had that dynamic in '96 as well, because Scotland drew with Holland at Villa Park. We didn't play well against Switzerland, and then went into that second game. And to be honest with you, till Shearer scored, Scotland were probably the better side at Wembley. And then Yuri Geller decided to move the ball before Gary McAllister took the penalty. we got away with it. So fine margins. Yeah. Even that tournament, and that, Patrick Kluivert.
That Kluivert goal cost us the place as well.
I suppose you'd have been too young to be at the game then.
No, I wasn't at the game, but I watched it.
Do you remember watching it?
Yeah.
Was you, be honest, mate, was you in your living room shouting on England to get another goal?
Yeah, well, was it the 78th minute that Cliver, I think it was the 78th, it was something like that, and scored. It was unbelievable. So we went out on goal scored after drawing 0-0 with him. Because that was, I'm sure we hit the bar against Holland as well. Like, McAllister had a free kick. Was McAllister had a free kick at the bar? Van der Sar in goals for Holland at that time, yeah.
The other
really good side, obviously, Bergkamp was playing at the time. And,
well, Holland went into that tournament as favourite.
Yeah. We had a really settled team and a decent team at that time as well, but yeah, sickener.
What would be a bad tournament?
Well, three losses, I think. I think our position with the two home games against sides that I think that we could do well against, to pick up no points at the end of it, or even 1 point. I think if we picked up a victory, it wouldn't be a disastrous tournament, and that's whether we qualified from the group or not.
I noticed as well that actually, if you finish third in the group, there's a chance your last 16 game could be at Hampden Park as well, I noticed.
Yeah, someone was talking, I can't remember the article I was reading earlier on today, but it was talking about how Scotland fans should feel cheated that we didn't get the three games at Hampden because we got drawn in the group with England and they were guaranteed the three home games. But, you know, it's the first tournament we've qualified for in 23 years. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the trip, I suppose, as much as anything else as well. So,
Paul,
disappointed, Paul, that there's no games in South America, mate.
yeah.
I feel cheated that if we win the group and go all the way in the tournament, we've got to play a quarter final in Rome. I think that's disgraceful, mate. We should have seven home games.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And you're only getting the winner of the group only plays at Wembley now because the Dublin game has been moved. Is that right?
Was the winner of the group was meant to be in Dublin.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And the runner up plays in Copenhagen.
Oh, the FA smelt that and they went for that. Yeah. They went, give St. Petersburg whatever else. We want that game in case we win the group. I mean, that could have been some fun, like us against France in Dublin or something. Could have been brilliant. It's a shame, actually. But yeah, I mean, there's definite advantages there in terms of trying to win the group. But I did notice, if you finish third, there's a good chance you could be back at Hampden. So you might be last 16 and with a home game, ironically. Admittedly, I think the most likely, I think, us almost might be that you'd play Spain, I think, most likely, probably. But still, you'd take that right now, wouldn't you?
Of course, a last 16 place, qualifying from the group for the first time ever, I think Scotland fans would bite your hand off for that at the moment.
Do you reckon you get out of group?
It's a heart versus head, isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels my head's probably no, my heart's saying that we're going to do it.
I just get disappointed so much, club level and international level. It's really hard to be too optimistic about it. I think we'll qualify. I think we'll qualify. I think we will.
I think you can. I don't think it's a bad draw. Croatia are weaker than 3 years ago. Czech Republic are very hit and miss. They might surprise. They might be rubbish. I actually feel you're a little bit unlucky that that's the first game, because I think if you'd have been in a position where that was the last game and you had to win it, then the vibe, whereas you might get kind of caught in an in-between on Monday, not knowing whether to win the game or if a draw is okay. I almost feel you might have benefited having that game last and a kind of final chance if the first two games went badly. How big is it to be playing England as well? Would you have rather not had England?
I'd rather play England. I think the atmosphere is always great from both sides in the games. I've been lucky enough to have been at a few games recently. The 3-2 game at Wembley was a good game. I think Ricky Lambert came on and scored the winner.
Yeah,
but as when I've travelled to Scotland away games before and expecting to get beat, all you want is a goal that kind of means something. An equaliser or the opening goal so that you can cheer in the crowd. So I enjoyed that game for that reason, even though we lost. But I'm happy enough that we
Was you at the 2-2 as well when Griffiths scored twice?
Yeah, scored the two free kicks. And then Kane scored right at the very, very, very end.
Good lad. I was at a stag do that day. It was good fun.
Griffiths had a kind of indifferent season. He's had some off-field issues as well, because he's one of those, like, the naturally talented player that we could have relied on. Brown at set pieces, good at running behind. But I think it was the right decision not to take him based on weighing everything up.
I'm getting more nervous about playing them the closer it comes around. I think initial reaction Suge was, oh great, let's have them again, that's all right. Then the best thing Scotland can do is make it like a Premier League game, right?
Yep,
and,
yep.
And I think with fans in the ground, there's more chance of that happening as well. I think England, we've spoken about this, have a natural kind of imbalance, which is a strength towards the left-hand side of the pitch. It sounds like, from what you're saying, Paul, there's possibly a weakness on that side, so there might be a bit of imbalance within the game that Scotland need to think about. But I look at your midfield particularly, and I think, I tell you what, there's decent depth in that squad. Yep. Definitely.
We don't get overrun.
You can do all right.
We don't tend to get overrun.
No one thinks you're going to win the tournament. I don't see you getting battered, by the way. Absolutely no way. I would take 1-0 against you right now.
I think the problem's, it feels like it's more up top with goals. Will you score enough? Because you've got some half-decent defenders there, solid in midfield, as James said. But it's just, can you score enough goals to get you through? But international tournaments are never massively high-scoring. You do in the group stages get the odd mismatch, but generally not high-scoring. So maybe the odd 1-0, 2-1s might get you through.
Yeah, and I think that was important to getting Shea Adams in as well. Scotland don't have that allegiance of, Scotland fans don't tend to have that allegiance of, well, the player wasn't born here, so don't want him to represent the country. And we had Don Hutchison scored the goal at Wembley against you, and he scored a few important goals for us as well away in Germany and such like. So he was definitely a big find for us, I think.
Oh God, that playoff in 2000. You should have done us. If you'd have taken
Christian Daly, beat us. Christian Daly missed the header at the end. Yeah.
Straight at David Seaman. Yeah. We were absolutely terrible. Another one. He played he who should not be named. He was playing right back for us, Serge.
Yeah. I mean,
we had Jamie Redknapp playing left side of midfield. Usual. Let's get the 11 best players on the pitch and not actually play players in their right position, which has been a long standing problem for England, which fortunately I think we're getting away from now. It's good to have you back in the tournament, Paul. I mean that generally.
Yeah.
I won't be supporting you in the games because you're in my group. Otherwise, I would be. It's brilliant to have you back. I remember being so gutted in 98 when you lost to Morocco because it was so much expectation that night that you would beat them and go through and got well beat.
Yeah.
It was a 2-point set. Much Tartan Army as well as the actual team on the pitch, because the fans bring so much to it. It's I'm going to be down at Wembley before the game. Like I said, one of my mates who's got tickets is coming.
Get
down.
Us one or what?
He's got two and he's taking his missus. I don't know. No, I don't think so, James.
Offer the money. What?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to put myself on a mission to try and find you a ticket to England, Scotland, James. But I'm likely to try and get down to Wembley at about 4 or 5 o'clock before the game, so maybe I'll have to hit you up for a beer.
I have no problem cancelling the pub reservation. Get me a ticket.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, I've had to book myself into TGI Fridays just beside the Wembley Stadium for a couple hours before, just so I could get a drink in before the game. Yeah.
Well, would the England fans know where you are now? No,
I imagine there'll be quite a lot of Scots there as well, to be fair. So.
Don't doubt that. We've had a few of our patrons, lad, I shout out Rory, every week on our Slack channel, Serge. He's like, because he can't get a ticket.
Yeah.
Where's a safe place to drink in London? I'm coming down and stuff.
Safe.
Absolutely brilliant.
Wherever. It's interesting. Yeah. Well, my mate messaged me yesterday, because I've got a friend who's got an office just in the shadow of Wembley Stadium. I said, where can I park by Wembley Stadium? But don't worry, I've got you sorted. You can park right outside his office, but you're buying the beers in exchange. So I'm looking forward to it. I just think that the atmosphere is going to be really good and positive as well, in terms of it's going to be a nice carnival vibe to it.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. It's been too long.
Nice.
Paul, we have to get you on a SkyPod next year as well, mate.
Yeah, definitely interested.
Get some of that template wisdom on to help me and Suge. We'd be very, very grateful, my friend.
Boring and disciplined.
Yeah, you can help, James. I'm beyond helping, so don't worry about me.
I don't need to help, James. You finished above me, did you not?
Flake, mate. He did well.
Lewis Dunk. Lewis Dunk should be playing for England on Sunday as well, mate. That's another podcast.
Fantastic. Paul, thanks for joining us on the show. A little rundown of Scotland and your travels. I'm really excited that you're going to get to go to the games as well.
Oh, we didn't ask Paul about fantasy. Are there actually any good Scotland Euro fantasy?
Do we even know the price of any of the players? James?
David Marshall, 4.5 if you're fruity. Yeah,
On the Euros game, he would be the only one that I would give any sort of consideration to. I'm playing fan team and McGinn's only 4.5 million in fan team. So he's a nice fifth midfielder. It's kind of similar,
that is
similar
a
setup.
Great price.
Cheap price, yeah.
Yeah,
and he'll be.
I noticed that the irony is McGinn and Grealish. McGinn's Scotland's most expensive player, 7.5. McGinn and Grealish are the same price, and yet if you were buying one at the start, you'd probably buy McGinn because there's no knowledge of if Grealish is going to play or not, and which is mad. Imagine that, McGinn, Grealish, same price, and you buy McGinn.
That's crazy, isn't it?
if Christie doesn't play for Scotland, McGinn will probably be on penalties as well. So,
Noted. That's going to get people excited.
Everyone loves a penalty taker.
I can't see me starting with a Scotland player. What about you, Suj?
No.
Nah.
No.
Nah, I don't think so. I same as what Paul said. I think Marshall 4.5. You were going to go there. The defensive guys who look like they're going to play are all a little bit more expensive. With Marshall, you got the benefit of perhaps save points as well. So I think, yeah, if you were going to invest, that's where you go. I do think a little bit like what we said with Corfe about the Wales games, I think Scotland games will probably be quite low scoring. There's always been that natural tendency for Scotland, I think, in big games that if they defend properly, you're looking at a low score. You're looking at more chance of, I think, England Scotland being 1-0 than 3-2, for example, I would have thought. Would you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as just going back to the point I made about Clark, is that he is very organised, and that's what he'll try and do.
All right, look forward to it. Don't message me and I won't message you. Good luck.
Thanks very much for having me on. It's
pleasure, Paul. Pleasure. Thank you. Tell the guys where they can follow you, Paul.
On Twitter at Paul McInulty 1.
And your Sky Fantasy Football Hub pod with Dan and Fergie Sunday nights back in August, I presume.
Yes, probably have one maybe when the player list gets announced at the end of July time, and then on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock for a live stream.
We look forward to it, mate.
Yeah, fantastic. Nice one. James, do you want to let everybody know what we've got left for the last couple of days of the week?
Yeah, we haven't left the Republic of Ireland out because it didn't qualify. We're doing a pod on them on Patreon today about some behind-the-scenes dodginess, potentially. We've got our quiz on Patreon tomorrow.
Alleged dodginess.
Yeah, alleged dodginess. Yeah, all that stuff. We've got a quiz on England in Euros tomorrow on Patreon as well. Our free-to-everyone pod will be our overall watch list for Euro Fantasy. And we'll do final drafts Friday, Surge, before the big kickoff. Can't wait for Friday night now.
Yeah, fantastic.
Let's get it started.
Listen, you want to look forward to my team because I am not picking it with any logic other than just players I like at the moment.
I was thinking that draft comedy podcast might be 25 minutes, but it's probably going to be an hour now.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
You're going to criticize every pick of mine, and I'm going to just ignore it all and just pick them anyway. So it's going to be fun.
And you'll probably beat everyone.
Stay safe, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us on this show. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Hit the subscribe, like, notification bell, whatever it may be. And you'll get notified as soon as our next podcast go live. Other than that, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Paul, you have permission to shout, come on, Scotland.
Come on, Scotland.
Cue music, please, man child. Fantasy Football Show. Sports Social Podcast Network.